In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Today we have a couple things to share on this Feast of the Epiphany. Two short announcements, one longer. First is that you may not know this, but even in the darkness that we've been experiencing within our state for some time, there's a great light that shone this week. That is in Clovis, New Mexico. Earlier this week, Clovis became a sanctuary city of life. Sanctuary city of life. And that's something that we can really give thanks to God, that even in the darkness and how so many persons given to evil wish to expand death within our state, Clovis shines out brightly. And this upcoming Saturday on the 14th, there's an opportunity for anybody who wishes to be a part of it to go and engage in a pro-life event to become voices for the voiceless at 8:30 a.m. at Sacred Heart Parish in Clovis, they're going to have a rally that's going to extend all the way until 1 o'clock. You can see the bulletin for more information on it, but to begin to push forward this beautiful gift that is life. If you like more on that, look in the bulletin. Secondly, I want to remind you to keep in mind all those who have lost family members and friends during this time, particularly those who've lost them recently, as these holy days are more difficult when you realize that there's not somebody there who you feel should have been there. Particularly to keep in mind, obviously, Pope Benedict, he passed at the turn of the year, and Lydia Martinez, who we buried on the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, that would be this past Tuesday, to keep her and Olga and all of her children and grandchildren and within your prayers. Lastly, more extensive announcement is basically just to let you know, as though you haven't heard this before, but beginning Monday, tomorrow, I will be gone for 6 weeks on a little mini sabbatical. What's a sabbatical? The canon law provides that all priests every 7 years are given an opportunity for sabbatical, which that's what the word Sabbath means, Saturday, the same thing, seventh day. So every 7 years, an opportunity to go away for some time and to pray, to get that refreshment that's there. Mine's a mini sabbatical because normally it'd be a year or 6 months or even 3 months. Mine will be 6 weeks, 6 weeks, so very, very short time. But I'll be there locked away in a monastery in West Virginia. If you want to know more information on that, it's in the office. It's not in the bulletin, but you can find it there. And I will be there praying in silence. I'll take my phone and hand it to the abbot, and he will hopefully give it back to me when I leave at the end of 6 months. Not 6 months. That'd be way too long. 6 weeks. 6 weeks. So from the 9th until the 20th of February, I'll be gone, arriving just before Ash Wednesday, which is the 22nd there. The reason why I'm only telling you now is because I didn't want to confuse you with, because we didn't have coverage for all the weekends that I was going to be gone until this past Tuesday. And I didn't want you to think that we wouldn't have Mass, and here we are. I knew God would come through, but I just didn't think this late in the game. And so we will have coverage for all the Masses all the weekend. The weekday schedule will be a little bit different, so you'll have to stay tuned to the bulletin to see what's going on there. But we'll have some of the best priests are going to come and serve you during this time. So that's something to give thanks for as well. If you have certain requests, certain things that you wish me to pray for, obviously this is, you don't have much time to hand me anything after Mass because I'll be leaving tonight. That's when my flight leaves. I'll wake up on the East Coast. I'll remind my guardian angel every morning when I get up to bring to me whatever requests that you may have as I engage in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and all day long in that silence and that prayer, to relay those messages to me. You just send your guardian angel. That's the fastest way to get prayer requests anyway. That's what our faith teaches. But now for something more bright. You see, Isaiah prophesied within our first reading saying, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has indeed risen upon you, and then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb, yea, even to overflowing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. And this Feast of the Epiphany is the conclusion of the 12 days of Christmas that we have, the arrival of the three kings. That's what we're celebrating on this day, Balthazar, Caspar, Melchior. These holy kings, pagans though they were, marks the event, the culmination of these 12 days of Christmas. But the Christmas mysteries, they aren't concluded until the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, until the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ on the 40th day, which is February 2nd, Candlemas. That's the Mass when you come into the church. All the candles will be blessed during those Masses, and every bit of this church will be lighted by candlelight. Thank you to those ahead of time who will be setting it up so much more gloriously than it's ever been done before. But what is the Epiphany? We celebrate today the Epiphany. What's that all about? The Epiphany is this. It's the Feast of Light. It's a festival of light. That's what Epiphany is. You see, the prophet Isaiah described it in that first reading, which was indeed given to us. And what did it say there? The first reading said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." What is this light that has arisen upon us? What is this light which shines? It is the person of Jesus Christ, he who is true light, he who makes you and I, all of us, light placing his light within us, children of light, from the moment of our holy baptism when we are received into Christ's family. And that is the light which is Christ has come into the world. The wise men's journey from the east is just the beginning of this procession, of this movement forward of Christ's light into the dark and dreary world that does not know that Christ is Lord, that he has come, Emmanuel, to be with his people. This journey begins with the Magi finding Christ, the Lord, in his house with his mother and father, foster father, St. Joseph. They come to adore him. They come to worship, and they come on bended knee, even prostrating themselves upon the ground before him and bless him with these gifts. Yet before the wise men even came to know that Christ was Lord, he was first revealed to whom? To the shepherds. We meditate upon this on Christmas Day just 2 weekends ago. And those shepherds, poor and simple souls, living in those nearby fields, at the announcement of the angel, went to the cave, and there recognized that Christ is Lord. But now the world, the wise men of the world, the wise, the learned people, the important people of the world, they're also coming to Christ. It's the great and the small, the kings and the slaves of all cultures, of all even pagans, come to adore him. These men from the east were merely the first foreigners who found that Jesus is the salvation which has come into the world, and they've been followed by many, many more throughout the centuries, even down to you and I. That's why we come to Mass this day, to come and to adore Christ, the child king. That second reading that Miss Mandy gave for us, what does it speak about? It speaks about there from the Ephesians. It reminds us that, quote, the Gentiles are co-heirs, that they are members of the same body, that they are cooperators, co-partners in the promises of Christ Jesus through the gospel. This tells you and I that our God is a God who wants to be known, that our God is a God who wants to be loved, that our God is indeed a God who wishes to be served by all peoples of every nation. He wishes to have that relationship with them, and that is why he's come, because he wants that all people who walk in darkness, those who dwell within the shadow of death, to see and to live in his glorious light. This, brothers and sisters, is gospel, which is to say, it is good news, the very same good news that the Catholic Church has ceaselessly proclaimed from its very inception, from the open side of Christ, as we always have before us in the image of divine mercy. The gospel reveals that these God-seeking pagan kings, they gave three gifts, expensive gifts, to the good Lord. You remember what they were? That's right, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they give these gifts? Gold, because they recognized this child who was prophesied that they came to see is indeed a king, the king of the universe. They gave him frankincense, which is an incense, recognizing that he is God, and so is to be worshipped and adored, just as you see so often within this church, that the whole sanctuary is shrouded in incense and the smoke, recognizing God is worshipped here. They give him myrrh. Myrrh is a spice that keeps the body from smelling bad, even in death, prepares the body for burial. And so too, he was given this gift of these three wise men, recognizing that this infant was born for one purpose, which is to die, to take away the sins of all people who would put their trust in his saving power, small and intimate, vulnerable as he is. You and I can marvel today at that faith and that courage, so great as it was, of these wise men who pursued God at so great a price, realized that rich as they were, they left absolutely everything behind to be mocked by those who said, you're going after something foolish. How could this be that the stars would speak of such things? They left everything back at home to travel for months, yea, even years, just to discover the joy of Christ's light, because they wished not to dwell in darkness any longer. They gave this poor child elaborate and extravagant gifts, and in giving these great gifts, they were able to receive something far more than if they were to take the entire wealth of all their nations from which they came and to lay them down before him. In giving that gift, they received intrepid joy to carry them throughout the whole of their lives, a light, really, that is to say, an epiphany that illuminated their darkness into their dying day. But when you and I come to the epiphany, seeing the great kings, we may be tempted to look at ourselves and seeing how we come, even today at this time, we may try to compare ourselves with the Magi. What do we do when we encounter Christ the King, Christ the Child? We can say, well, look, I've always been Catholic. I've always had access to the sacraments. In fact, I'm preparing to receive confirmation even right now. And I've heard all these stories over and over again through the whole of my life, seen them pass before me so many times. And yet I still feel empty. We can begin to look at all of our talents, all of our abilities, our finances, and say, what gift could I even begin to bring to adore the Christ child who's here? I know I'm far from God. I know I don't live my life right as I should do, so my hands are empty. I don't even know what I'm doing here this morning, but I'm here. Let me share with you a legend of what happened at the birth of Christ, an ancient legend. Remember those first visitors of the Christ child that came to adore him at the message of an angel, the shepherds. They came hearing him, came and hurried to that stable, into that cave, all searching within themselves, well, if he's a king, well, what can I give him? They only had what they had with them in the fields. Each brought whatever it is that they had. Some were the fruits of their labor, things that they'd grown on themselves. Some the packed lunches that they had had to keep themselves through the night. Others found some precious article that they held onto that gave them courage and strength, even as they would go through those dark and lonely nights away from family and friends. As each one of them began to present whatever they held precious, whatever they had near to them, presenting gifts, there was one shepherd who had nothing. He had nothing to give. He was extremely poor. He had no gift. As all these ones were one by one presenting their gifts with great joy, competing to give their gift, to see that that would bring a joy to this king, to this family that was there, he stepped back as they stepped forward. He hung out on the edges, embarrassed, hoping that they'd just even forget that he existed, because he had nothing. St. Joseph, Our Lady, they were overwhelmed with all the gifts, all the commotion that was going on before them as one by one they piled gifts upon them. They ran out of room within their own hands, especially Mary, who also had to hold the child wrapped in swaddling clothes close to her breast. But Mary's eye caught that shepherd who was hanging out in the back with his empty hands, and so she beckoned him to come forward. Seeing that shepherd with that empty hand, as soon as he approached, she took the babe and placed the child in his arms. The shepherd was immediately aware at that moment that he'd received something that he didn't deserve to receive. He was holding within his hands the greatest gift of all time. He looked at his hands, those hands that to him always seemed like they were empty, like they were lacking, like they had nothing of value, which now had become the very cradle of God. In this, he felt loved. He felt privileged. He felt honored to bear this Christ King. Finally, overcoming that embarrassment, seeing that his hands were no longer empty, but somehow filled with something beyond all telling, he began to look at the others who were around, who were looking at the child with his hand, and began to show the child to them. He realized that he could not keep to himself this which is the gift of gifts. When we look at ourselves, we cannot begin with our own abilities. Can't begin with our own things that we have, but we have to begin as Christians with Jesus Christ and his grace, because he is our Savior. Let's instead turn to contemplate the Christ child who is here before us, to allow ourselves to be caught up in his tender love as that little child becoming so small, yet he is God for us, living among us. And then when we begin to contemplate that reality, then we won't have any excuse for not letting ourselves to be loved by him. He seeks you and I out when we are nothing, when we have nothing, when we feel like we are nothing. That's when he comes and pursues us, because he, as God, sees eternity as being less perfect if it were to be without you and I being with him forever. That's why Christ came. Each and every one of you, this divine child, this infant king, he came willing to die for you. That's what this mystery celebrates. So whatever goes wrong within our lives, whatever sin feels like it keeps you and I at arm's length, at a distance from his holy church, whatever tragedies exist within the world that come and come and keep on coming, they will no longer be able to be an excuse for you and I to keep from coming to Jesus Christ, if we begin first with Christ's initiative to come to us, to save us, to be a Jesus for us. When you and I are faced with the extravagant love of Jesus, the tender and the love which is so tender, so close, so meek, what excuse can remain within our lives to keep us away? What can keep us from the very love which is Christ Jesus? On this Epiphany, the question for us to ponder is this: do I allow myself to be loved by God? Do I abandon myself to this love that comes to earth to save me? Brothers and sisters, God is restless. He is restless. He looks for a people that are willing to catch this unrest as though a virus, to catch his passion, which is for you and for I, that he's searching for a people who carry themselves a searching heart, and at the same time are open to being touched by God in his search for each and every one of us. This was the task that was given to those first Christians, those first Catholics, to receive God's unrest for man and to bring God to each and every man and woman. The same task which is entrusted to each of you who are the successors of the very first Catholics. So let yourselves be touched by God's unrest, his restlessness for souls, so that God's longing for man might be fulfilled through your witness to have been touched my God, you have borne him within your own arms. Jesus wants you to hold him and then to show him to others, just like that shepherd did, who came with empty hands, were filled with Christ given by the Blessed Virgin, and then could not keep from showing him to others. Today is the day. This is the day, the right day to draw near to the creche, to come close to the manger, to approach the Christ child. Because there's no more perfect time to approach Jesus than now and say to him simply, thank you. Thank you for the great gift. Let's receive the gift that is Jesus in order to become a gift to others just like Jesus, to give them not ourselves, but to give them Christ who has given himself to us. Jesus shows us this very thing this morning of Epiphany. He is light. He didn't wait until we were good before he began to start loving us. No, but on the contrary, he gave himself to us freely, exactly at the moment when you and I were far less than good. Mass this very morning is going to end just like Christmas Day with another opportunity, a blessed opportunity to come here forward to the front of the church and to adore this Christ child, this King, to adore this baby Jesus. Don't let anything hold you back from approaching him. Dear brothers and sisters, you who are here, if you see that your hands are empty, like you've got nothing to offer, like you're totally lacking in every way, if it seems like your heart is poor, poor in relationship to love for the great gift which is here, this morning is specifically for you. The grace of God has indeed appeared. His light has shone. The Epiphany of God wants to shine forth so brightly within your life. Just accept it. And the light of Christ will shine forth in you and through you. In this way, Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled anew and again in you. As he said, then you shall be radiant. At what you see, your heart it shall throb, and even to overflowing. This is the grace of the Epiphany. Let Christ's light shine into you and through you, scattering the darkness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.